Let's bring in Dwight Walton, former Canadian men's national basketball team player and our basketball analyst. Good morning, Dwight.
Elliot, Greg, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. You know what? I go back to before LeBron, or just after LeBron won his first championship, and the Michael fans, right, you were not allowed to mention their names at the same time. How dare you? And at the time when LeBron won his first championship at the same age, Michael hadn't won one. Now he's the all-time leading playoff scorer and he's going to another final. It's tough comparison, but he's certainly in the conversation.
And you know what, Elliot, what I like most about this playoff point scoring record that LeBron achieved last night is that although it wasn't 32 more games than Michael Jordan, it was on 118 less shots. And at the same time, while being the playoff leader in points scored in NBA history, he also has 409 more assists than Michael Jordan. So my point for putting out these statistics today is that while being the best scorer, he also empowered and uplifted his teammates. You listen to his post-game press conference last night. That's what he was stressing on. He was talking about how he wanted to make his teammates better. He wanted to make his teammates feel better about themselves. It was all about winning. It was sharing. It was caring. It was about making the right basketball play. Yes, LeBron James gets accused of not taking game-winning shots, not being being in the clutch the last 2 minutes of a ball game. But the statistics say otherwise. But at the end of the day, LeBron James, as far as I'm concerned, is the most unique basketball player I've ever seen. While he's helping his teammates, he's also scorching you at the same time by scoring the basketball. This is the reason why LeBron James is a winner. In spite of his 3-4 record in the finals, he's a winner. He's gotten to 7 straight finals. As you said, it might get to 10. Anywhere he goes, his team has a chance not only to make the playoffs, but to win championships. That's why LeBron James, to me, in my mind, is the most unique basketball player I've ever seen.
Dwight Walton, our guest, former Canadian men's national team member. The takeaway for me on this series is more, because I didn't change any of my mind about LeBron. I've been sort of an advocate, if you will. I don't feel like a defender, but it's about Kyrie Irving. And I look at Kyrie Irving, where he's at in efficiency, where he's also at in distribution ball handling. And I think I'm now... You'd rather have him than John Wall. You'd rather have him than Chris Paul, who does get hurt. We saw a lot of these point guards, Westbrook and Harden too. They get banged up. It's a physical league. It still is, despite not the under-the-basket play. And I think Kyrie one day is going to win an MVP. Maybe a couple, Dwight. What are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing about Kyrie, Greg. I think Kyrie, what we all know that he is might just be the best one-on-one isolation player that we have in the NBA. But at the same time, over the past several years, what Kyrie has gotten better at is his floor game, his vision, his willingness to accept double teams and to make the pass that was going to make his teammates better. His reputation before LeBron James returned to Cleveland 3 seasons ago wasn't a very good one. He obtained some bad habits while being the Cleveland's best player, but Cleveland had some poor teams. And I think that's where the presence of LeBron James has helped Kyrie in his development. If you look at him throughout these playoffs this season, his floor game has gotten much better. He's had a career high in assists back in the Toronto series. You can tell when he scores 11 to 15 points in a game now, he's going to have 8, 9, 10 assists. That's how much better he's gotten. His vision is better, his overall leadership better, his floor game is better, his vision is better. Getting his teammates involved is where Kyrie has much, much improved in his career. He's always going to be able to score the ball. He's the perfect complement to LeBron James on the Cleveland Cavaliers. But because of his ability now to share the wealth and make his teammates better, that's the improvement that I see in Kyrie Irving.
All right, to help break a tie here, let's take LeBron off the Cleveland Cavaliers. What are they?
That's a tough one for me to answer, because if you want me to go back in history, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving didn't make the playoffs before they were teammates of LeBron James. Now, I understand Kevin Love was playing in the Western Conference with the Minnesota Timberwolves, where he was the best player. Everything went through him. And that Kyrie Irving was more of a lottery situation with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I think the Cavaliers make the playoffs, but they're obviously not championship contenders. That's why I think LeBron James is the most valuable player in basketball. Yes, he may not have had the best season this year. That's going to go to either Harden, Leonard, or Westbrook. But the Cavs make the playoffs, but they're not serious contenders, obviously. That's how much LeBron James means to the Cavaliers lineup.
I've thought on Boston, so I'll run it down for you. I find them, if the playoffs are over right now, I'd be fascinated on what the Celtics do. And I changed my mind from when they won the lottery, Dwight, to go, well, they should just obviously take Fultz. He's the best player. I'd take Ball now, and I'd tell you why I'd do that. I'd certainly tell the dad to eat it. I'd trade him to the Lakers, or I'd keep him and let him distribute, because I don't know that they can get any closer with Isaiah Thomas. Those quarters that he played, they weren't competitive, similar to Kyle Lowry here, and that's why there are questions here. So I can't pay Isaiah Thomas $200 million, but I can pay Ball a lot less. And if I have a lineup of Ball, Bradley, they need a Jimmy Butler or Paul George, I'll give you that. But if I'm starting Ball, Bradley, Butler, Horford, and Olynyk, I feel like I might have something there. What would you do?
And here's the thing, Greg. That's the conundrum that I think Danny Ainge is going to be in this summer. You hear a lot of people saying that they shouldn't even draft a Markelle Fultz or Alonzo Ball, talking about the Boston Celtics. They think that they should trade that pick to try and get a veteran player and be in a win-now situation. Who is that veteran player going to be? Is it going to be a Jimmy Butler? Is it going to be a Paul George? Do you pick up Gordon Hayward in free agency this summer? That's the question. Do you think a 19-year-old kid is going to help that Boston Celtics lineup be a contender and be a serious threat to the Cleveland Cavaliers? That's the question you have to ask yourself. I think the future is bright in Boston, but in today's microwave society, do we think a 19, 20-year-old is going to be what helps the Boston Celtics? Or do you go out and acquire a Butler, a George, or sign a Hayward in this upcoming
season? So what do you do? If you're Ainge, are you drafting Fultz and sticking with him?
I think you draft Fultz. I think you go after Gordon Hayward in free agency. I think you've got some nice ancillary parts in Crowder, Smart, and Bradley, Al Horford. I think the culture there is pretty good. But again, I think I would draft one of those rookies, Fultz or Ball, and go after Hayward in free agency and go from there. I don't think you want to sacrifice your future, because you've got to remember LeBron James is on the end of his career probably. So I think you go with that way in the future.
All right. So with Dwight Walton, a former national team member, and I was going to ask you about the final, but we're going to talk about PK Subban coming up. I know that you are a huge hockey fan, and I know that you're a man of color, and I know that you live in the city of Montreal. And so PK Subban's going to talk about why he got traded from the city of Montreal, and I know you have opinions on the subject.
Listen, of course, as a black man, I do have some issues with how he was treated here in Montreal. Here's what I think. I just think that for whatever reason, a black superstar is hard to deal with here in Montreal. You could see it in the locker room with the show that they have here in Montreal. Just going back to the Winter Classic last January, when PK Subban was going through his lineup and having a great time in the locker room, how all the players, for whatever reason, were stoic in that locker room. That spoke volumes to me. That wasn't a hockey trade last summer with Shea Weber and PK Subban. It was a I don't want this guy on my team any longer trade, and the Canadiens organization is going to pay for that. Statistics show that PK is the best defenseman in these NHL playoffs. And, of course, I would love to see the Nashville Predators win the Stanley Cup so PK can bring that cup back here to the Montreal Children's Hospital, parade around the city. And I can tell you, even with my bad hip, I'm going to be at that celebration because I want to see PK Subban win the Stanley Cup, because the Habs know they made a huge mistake with that deal. Live with his mistakes. He's a high-risk, high-reward player. Eric Carlson is the same thing. The Ottawa Senators were patient with him. Why couldn't Marc Bergevin, Michel Therrien, and the Canadiens be patient with PK Subban? There's a lot of issues there. I can go into it more, but you know how I feel. It was a wrong trade. It shouldn't have been made, and now the Nashville Predators are paying dividends because of it.